clear from the Word of God, and this morning we return to the book of Colossians and resume our series through it. Please turn with me again this morning to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. And I'll be reading verses 17 through 21, but the specific focus of the sermon this morning, our specific text, is the words addressed to children in verse 20. So again, please stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God as we have it read in our presence. And we hear from the book of Colossians 3 and 17, where the Spirit says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Let's pray again together this morning. Our Father, again, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that you have not remained silent, but that you have spoken. That you are the one who has said, "Let light shine into the darkness." And there was light. But Father, that not only happened at creation, it happens in our lives. And Father, we ask that your word would be light to our path this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ for His glory. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you were going to take your whole family, your extended family, shopping for clothes, and if you were to go to a store like Kohl's or Target or Walmart where they had clothes for everybody, you wouldn't be able to find clothes for everyone in your family in the same section. Because they've got the clothes divided up. They have the women's clothes, and they have the Mrs. clothes, the juniors. You have the men's clothes, the boys' clothes, and so on. You couldn't get everything all at once. You would have to move from section to section to find what you need. You would shop for one person or one group of people at a time. And in effect, that's sort of what is happening here at the end of Colossians 3. In verse 17 that we've read, Paul has pronounced his great statement of application. You know, because believer, you have been made alive with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ, hidden with God in Christ. Paul says in verse 17, "Therefore, in light of that, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And then in verses 18 and following, Paul determines to focus on the family. He takes the words of verse 17 and explains what they specifically mean for everyone in the family. But because the different members of the family have different roles, different responsibilities, Paul can't say everything at once. So he moves, if you will, from section to section. He moves through the family, person, persons, perhaps, by person. You know, he starts with the wives. You know, to do everything in word or deed, doing all in the name of Jesus Christ, specifically means submitting to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And now he moves to the kids section. Moves to the young adult section. And kids, young people. The sermon this morning is directed specifically for you. Because in verse 20, the Holy Spirit is speaking specifically to you. Here is what doing all in the name of Jesus specifically means for you. Doing all in the name of Jesus means doing all that your parents ask. Doing all in the name of Jesus means doing doing all that your parents ask. For a theme, I'm going to put this in a way that you can remember it a little bit more easily. You know, you youngest of kids can remember this. Here it is. Because Jesus makes me glad. Do you see where we're going with this? Because Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad. All right, you young little kids, I want you to say that with me because I want you to get this. Say with me, because Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad. Now, because you're kind of embarrassed to do this, I'll ask everybody to say it so everybody says it. Because Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad. Okay, here's the first point, is that this obedience to parents in all things, that's a radical countercultural idea. You know, what an amazing idea. You know, picture this. A parent comes into a room and says, please get off the computer. And the child says, yes, mom. Yes, dad. And does it right then. Without complaining. Without whining. Without delay. Without hesitation. You know, without just one more minute. You know, the parent comes in and says, please pick up your socks. Put them in the hamper. And the child says, yes, mom, yes, dad, and does it immediately. Or more than that, there are no socks on the floor. In the first place, because 3 weeks ago, mom said, don't leave your socks on the floor, put them in the hamper. And the child's been obeying consistently ever since then. And all you parents are saying, where is this world? But this is the home that Paul envisions, where children obey their parents in all things. Brothers and sisters, this idea of obedience to parents in all things is a radical concept. It is not the norm. And in part, it is not the norm because we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Children are conceived and born in sin. Psalm 51:5. Behold, David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived. Parents, you affirm that truth about your children. You affirm it publicly when you bring your children and present them for baptism. We believe that our children are conceived in sin. And because children are born and conceived in sin, we anticipate that children are going to rebel. You know, you see it in Scripture. Adam's son Cain rebelled. Samuel's sons rebelled. David's sons rebelled. We see it in the world around us. You know, to the extent that the terrible twos and the rebellious teenager are part of our culture's vocabulary. You hear it on the radio commercials. Hi, my name is Dr. James Lehman. Do you have trouble with your child? Back talking, disobedience. Dial this number today and I will send you my free program and I will have your child transformed instantly. You've heard those commercials. Those commercials resonate with people. They resonate with people. Because they do struggle with rebellious children. We see it in our own homes. Christian homes are not immune to rebellion by children because Christian homes are not immune to sin. And we see it, brothers and sisters, in our own hearts. Kids, I'll ask this question. It's hard to obey sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to obey sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to get off the computer when your mom or dad tells you to. It's hard to put down the book and come set the table when they ask. It's hard to eat the food that you don't like. It's hard to pick up your room. Isn't it hard sometimes? And you know why it's hard? It's hard because you have to stop doing what you want to do and do what somebody else wants you to do. You have to stop doing what you want to do and do what someone else wants you to do. It's hard because you have to think about someone else other than yourself. It's hard because you want to be master of your own world and you can't be. And so lots of times, what do you think at those times? You think, no, no, I'm not going to do what my parents say. I'll live the way I want to. And so you ignore your mom and dad. Or you talk back to them, or you fight about it. Or maybe you do it, but you do it grumbling and complaining, you know, just to show that, okay, I'll do it, but you don't rule me. Maybe you think this. You ever think this, when your mom or dad asks you to do something, you don't want to do it. You ever think, I can't wait till I'm grown up. I can't wait till I'm grown up. Because when I'm grown up, when I'm on my own, I'll do whatever I want to. I'll eat ice cream at every meal. I'm never going to pick up my room. I'm going to stay up past 10:30. I will do whatever I want. You see, it's hard to obey sometimes because you want to be master of your own world and you can't be. You know, but if your response ever is, and I know that it is, you know, when I'm on my own, when I'm out of here, when I'm grown up, I'll do whatever I want. I know that's your response because that was a response of my heart too at some points when I was growing up. But to say that I'll do whatever I want, can you see the selfishness in that? Can you see the sin in that? Because the Bible doesn't call you to do whatever you want. The Bible says, whatever you do, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Obedience to parents, it's a radical idea. It doesn't come naturally because of sins. You know, adults, parents here, you know, those of you wanting your children to obey, who are frustrated at times when they don't, you know, it's not as if you cannot relate to your child's struggle. You know, you could recount for your children your own disobedience to parents. You know, you can see that rebellion in your own heart, even now when your sovereignty is challenged. Because even as adults, we still wrestle with wanting to be the masters of our world. We still bristle a little bit when we have to do what we don't want to do. Obedience to parents is a radical concept. It's not the norm because we live in a fallen, sinful world. And it is a radical idea. It is not the norm because the culture in which we live promotes the idea of children rebelling against their parents. You know, I'll set this up by giving you just a little bit of theology. Sort of a theology of rebellion against authority here. You know, God, as the creator of heaven and earth, and everything in them, is the ultimate authority. And God, who is the ultimate authority, and who does things decently and in order, establishes authority structures. He's established authority in the home. He establishes authority in the church. He establishes authority in the state. And God in Scripture repeatedly calls us to submit to the authorities that He's established. And He's established authority structures in part because that is a way of recognizing, of moving us towards submitting to Him as the ultimate authority. You know, submitting to parents, to husbands, to elders, to the state is a means of revealing to us that ultimately we're called to submit to God. But in his sin, mankind is always going to want to rebel against authority. He rebels against God as the ultimate authority. I'll go just a little philosophical on you here for a minute. I saw a movie recently about the debates that took place between an atheist named Christopher Hitchens and a Christian pastor named Doug Wilson. They debated the existence of God. They debated the question, is Christianity good for the world? And one objection, one argument that the atheist, Christopher Hitchens, raised against the idea of there being a God is the fact, as he says, if there's a supreme being, if the God in Scripture is true, we would all have to submit to him. You know, Hitchens' language is, if there is a God, then the universe is a dictatorship. Because God would be in control of everything and we'd have to submit to him. And that idea of having to submit to God, of having to submit to a higher power, repulses Hitchens. It repulses him. He doesn't want to submit to God. And that idea of submitting to God is so repulsive to him, and he assumes that it is so repulsive to everyone else. It is so repulsive, so distasteful to him, that he then raises his repulsion to an argument against God's very existence. He raises his repulsion to an argument against God's very existence. In effect, he says, you want to know why there can't be a God? Because if there was a God, he'd be in control of everything and we'd have to submit to him. And we know that can't be the case. I don't want to submit. Because we are inclined to rebel against God as the ultimate authority, we are then also inclined to rebel against the lesser authorities God has established. And we live in a culture that fuels that anti-authoritarian tendency. What that means is we live in a time and a place that does not like authority. You know, don't impose your morality on me. Don't tell me what to do. No one should have to submit to anyone else. That's not fair. And our culture, more specifically, I think we could say expects, even encourages children to rebel against parents. You know, a staple of pop culture is the rebellious child, portrayed as all wise, you know, in contrast to the doting parents. I call this the Disney theology sometimes. You know, my kids have seen a lot of Disney movies, but there is sort of a Disney theology that runs through so many of the movies where the kids know best, and they have to disobey their parents. And by the end of the movie, the parents come and tell the children, oh, we see now how wise you were to have disobeyed us. The Parent Trap, Little Mermaid, Aladdin. You know, there's others. That theme runs through that. You know, you want another example, you know, of the smart, rebellious child, the doting parent, The Simpsons. You know, their 450th episode is on this evening. You know, this is a staple of pop culture. You know, beyond that, you have all sorts of movies and television where you have children, and oftentimes specifically young people, they exist in this world with no parents at all. They exist in this world with no parents, and all of this has an impact. You know, in the Case for Kids series, the Shepherd and the Child Heart series on parenting that we went through, the speaker in that series, he said, and I think he's right, that there's just a huge amount of cultural cynicism towards teens and the teen years. People hear the word teen and they don't think good things. You know, kids become teens and the attitude of parents is, well, you sort of put on your crash helmet, you fasten your seatbelt, and you hope to survive with a little bit of your sanity left, with your child out of jail, a virgin, undrug addicted, and graduated from high school. You know, the culture fosters this idea that children should rebel against their parents. Obedience to parents in all things is a radical idea. But brothers and sisters, young people, kids, second point here, it is a thoroughly Christian idea. Paul says to obey your parents in all things because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Other translations have maybe a little bit more accurately, it is fitting. It is right in the Lord. To obey your parents in all things is appropriate. It is the right attitude. It is the right mindset for someone who professes Christ. You know, can it be hard to obey your parents? Sure it can. It is hard for all of you sometimes. Might be hard for some of you a lot of the time. Here's what I want you to see. This is the because Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad, fleshed out a little bit. If you believe in Jesus, young people, if you believe in Jesus, kids, that saving relationship with Jesus is to shape your relationship with your parents. Your obedience to your parents is rooted in your your relationship with Jesus Christ. It flows out of your relationship with Christ. Because Jesus has made me glad. I'll obey my mom and dad. Young people, if you have submitted to Jesus, you were once dead in your sins, you were alienated from God, but now in Christ you've been made alive. You have received Christ as Lord. You profess to believe Him. You would say, I am a Christian. You are trying to follow Christ. If you have submitted to Christ, it is fitting. It is right. It makes sense to submit to your parents. Okay, you younger kids, I talk philosophy and things like that, but all you younger kids, I want you to hear me. And there's a lot of you out there. Walter, John, Corinne, Danielle, Nula, Ben, Brooke, others of you. There's a lot of you out there. I'm going to tell you about a couple of people. First of all, I'll tell you about John. You know, this is not the John of the Bible. This is a different John. When I was a little kid, every summer I used to go to church camp for a week. Church camp was great. Loved church camp. It was a camp that kids from a lot of different churches came to. It was kind of like nature camp. Except you got to stay at the camp. You got to sleep in a cabin with your friends. And every day we'd have a Bible lesson and we'd play games and you'd go swimming in the afternoon and there'd be a campfire at night. And then they had a concession stand. And when I was a little guy at camp, one of the older big kids in the camp was a boy named John. John was tall. Everybody called him Big John. And everybody liked Big John. He was popular. Big John was a good athlete. He played games well. And you know, sometimes when kids get bigger, they kind of ignore the younger kids. You know, not always on purpose, but just sometimes bigger kids get busy and they're thinking about big kid things. And they don't want to play with you so much and they kind of overlook you a little bit. But see, the neat thing about Big John was Big John didn't do that. Big John always talked to us little guys. Big John would always include us in games when he was playing. He'd ask us how we were doing. He'd ask us to play with him. And that made us feel special. Because it is neat when older people treat you as special. I can remember I thought when I was little, I want to be like Big John when I get older. What a great guy. Right, there's the first person. Now I'll tell you about a person who's bigger than John. Let me tell you about Jesus. Big Jesus. You know, Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is the Son of God. He always was. Jesus made everything. He runs the whole universe. But Jesus also made you. And big Jesus pays attention to you. Jesus died on the cross for you. So your sins can be forgiven and you can live with Him in heaven. Jesus cares for you. Jesus listens to your prayers. He's with you. And that's wonderful. Jesus makes us glad. And maybe we would say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you. And kids, Jesus says something right here in the Bible for you. Something He wants you to do. He says, I want you to obey your parents in all things. Because that pleases me. You know, Jesus has given your mom and dad a big, big job. A big, big job. Your mom and dad are in charge of your house. Your mom and dad have to teach you what's right and wrong. They teach you about Jesus and the Bible. They help you get ready to be a grown-up. They have a big job, and because Jesus makes you glad, He says, obey your mom and dad. That when your mom and dad ask you to do something, that you say, yes, mom, yes, dad. And you do it. If they ask you to help, you get up and help. If they ask you to get ready for bed, you go get ready for bed. If they ask you to stop doing something, you say, yes, mom, and yes, dad. And you stop. You know, that you obey the very first time they ask you. You know, they don't have to ask you three or four times. And that you obey without whining or complaining. Because Jesus makes you glad. Obey your mom and dad. And sometimes, because it is hard to obey, if you don't obey, you can ask your mom or dad for forgiveness. Say, I'm sorry, mom and dad. I meant to obey, but I didn't. I'm sorry, please forgive me, and they'll forgive you. Because Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad. All right, now let me move this up just a little bit. To you older kids, you know, some of you in-between kids, you know, Joshua, Caleb, Gabrielle, Caroline, for you older kids, hear this. Your relationship with Jesus should motivate you to obey your parents. You know, these words that Paul writes, obey your parents in all things, that's part of the law of God. The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. And you have not obeyed that commandment perfectly. You have disobeyed at times. None of us has obeyed it perfectly. I didn't when I was growing up. And failure to obey the law of God is sin. Young people, kids, your failure to honor your parents, to obey your parents in all things, is part of the sin that alienates you from God in and of yourself. It's part of the sin that would place you under the wrath and curse of God. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, has fulfilled the law of God perfectly on your behalf. Jesus came and obeyed the fifth commandment for you. He obeyed His heavenly Father, but more than that, He obeyed His earthly parents. He obeyed Joseph and Mary. You know, sometimes you might think you know more than your parents. Jesus really did. But He obeyed them. He obeyed them. You might think some things your parents ask you to do is stupid. Could Jesus have out-argued Mary and Joseph? Oh, yeah. But He obeyed. He obeyed because you didn't. He obeyed because your failure to obey means judgment. He obeyed because He loves you. He obeyed the fifth commandment and all the commandments perfectly. He obeyed them for you, and then He offered His life as a perfect sacrifice for your sin. At the cross, Jesus, who honored and obeyed perfectly, paid the penalty that you deserve for not honoring and obeying your parents in all things. This is how we know what love is that He laid down His life for us. And when by grace you believe in Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. Christ's perfect righteousness is given to you. Your sin is paid for. Your life is hidden with Christ. Can you see that? And say, yes, Jesus makes me glad. Because He did for me what I can't do for myself. And He has given me salvation. And your obedience to your parents is then to be rooted in that thankfulness for what Jesus has done for you. You obey because Jesus obeyed for you. And there is glorious freedom here, kids. There is glorious freedom. You know, you can obey your parents for a lot of reasons. You know, maybe sometimes, maybe some of you obey your parents because you want your parents' approval. And there's a pressure there. Am I good enough? Am I doing good enough? I need my parents' approval. You can obey because you fear getting in trouble. You know, you can obey because you want to maintain, you know, your reputation as that good Christian kid. And there can be a lot of pressure to obey when those are your motivations. But the Bible doesn't say obey to win your parents' approval. It doesn't say obey, you know, to maintain your reputation. It says obey because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. It's fitting in the Lord. There's a freedom there. This is why I obey. Because Jesus loved me and died for me. And I'm just saying thank you. And if I fall short, He'll forgive me. Jesus makes me glad, so I'll obey my mom and dad. And I'm going to say this, maybe a little bit of a side, but I'm going to say this. You've heard me say it before, but there is a blessing. There is a blessing in obeying Christian parents. You know, are your parents perfect? Of course not. That's one of the first things parents learn when they become parents. Oh, wow. I'm messing this up. I blew this. That becomes increasingly clear to your parents as time goes by. They're not perfect. But they're a blessing. You know, the temptation for Christian kids growing up in Christian homes, growing up in the church, I think, is the temptation to always think, I'm missing out. I'm missing out. My folks are too strict. Mrs. Meckelson didn't grow up in a Christian home. There were a lot of problems in the home that she grew up in. She became a Christian just before the senior year of her high school. And then she went to a Christian college. And there at the Christian college, she remembers getting into a conversation with another student who'd grown up in a Christian home. He grew up in a church like this. He grew up in a home like yours. And he got talking with Mrs. Meckelson about their backgrounds. And he made this comment. You know, after Trishan said, you know, she hadn't grown up as a Christian and so forth, he made this comment. He said, you know, I wish I hadn't grown up in a Christian home sometimes. I never got a chance to be stupid. You laugh, but you might think that sometimes. I can remember being at Christian college, and I can remember kids saying, I wish I wasn't a Christian. Because then I could go do this or this. There's that wrestling. There can be that wrestling. You know, I didn't have a chance to be stupid, he said. And I've got to say, that's the point. That's the blessing. Obeying your Christian parents keeps you from being stupid. You know, Mrs. Meckelson's comment to him was, be thankful you never had the chance to be stupid. Because stupid gets you in trouble. Because stupid leaves scars. Stupid brings regrets. Some of your parents could testify to that personally. The temptation is to think that you're missing out, but you're not missing out. Those who are not growing up in a Christian home, they are missing out. They are the ones missing out. You know, if you're here, you're growing up in a Christian home, embrace the faith. Obey your parents. You get to be my age. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. But it's that relationship with Jesus that motivates you to obey your parents. And more than that, young people, kids, it's your relationship with Jesus that empowers you to obey your parents. You know, young people, kids, the temptation will always want to be in the relationship with your folks, the temptation is always going to want to be to live like the old man. You know, to live in a relationship with your parents, to be angry, to covet, to rebel, to want to rule the world. But your relationship with your parents gives you the opportunity. It gives you the opportunity to live as a new man, a new woman, to live as a Christian. If you believe God has saved you in Christ, and if you believe God is at work in you to make you like Christ, and here in relationship with your folks, you have a chance from your earliest days to die to yourself, to think of the interest of others, to put off the old and put on the new. You have a chance, and you might get the chance this week, to put off anger and put on kindness and compassion toward your folks. You might have the chance this week to put off slander, abusive words, talking back, and putting on humility and gentleness. Maybe have the chance this week to put off coveting. Oh, I wish I could do what those guys are doing, but my folks won't let me. To put off covetousness and put on contentment. You know, your parents have rules. They ask you to do things that you think are stupid. And maybe they are. Maybe they are. But you have the chance to grow in patience. To grow in patience. Your relationship with your folks, God can use that to make you more Christ-like. And that change can come because God in Christ gives you strength. And young people, I've got to ask you to examine your hearts. Because ultimately this command is not about you and your parents, it's about you and the Lord. And if it is always challenging to obey your parents, if it is always rebellion, if it is always hard, is it hard because you don't know Jesus? Is it hard because you don't know Jesus? And maybe for some of you, there's a place here that you need to get right with God and confess your sin and know the salvation of Christ and get right with your parents. Obedience to parents is a thoroughly Christian idea. It is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is fitting. It is right in the Lord. And then just to flesh out, you know, what this is that's to flow out of that relationship with Christ. What it is that Paul says is well-pleasing. It's this simple. Do what they tell you to do. Because you're wanting to do all things in the name of Jesus. Do it when they tell you. Do it without whining, without complaining, without talking back. Also, it's a comprehensive command. Do all things. You know, you cannot sin. You cannot sin. But in everything else, Paul says, obey your parents. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when it seems fair. Not just when it makes sense. You know, again, the question when your folks ask you to do something is not, does this make sense? Not, is this stupid? Not, what do I want to do? The question is, am I honoring and obeying? Am I doing all things in the name of Jesus? To remember that you are not the judge of what you should or should not obey. You are not the arbitrator of what seems fair or unfair. And again, if you fall short, ask for forgiveness. And lastly, a question that comes up at this point is, you know, when does this command no longer apply? When, in effect, do you stop obeying your parents? My mother's alive. But I don't obey my mom in the same way I did when I was 14 or 8 or 6? You know, at some point, children leave the home. They start their own families. Adults are still called to honor their parents, but that relationship has changed. And that fact that children do one day leave the home and start their own families, that reality can create a tension in the home as kids get older. They get to be 16, 17, 18. You know, I'll address this more specifically next week when we talk to parents, when we talk to fathers. You know, that yes, you have to let your children grow up. The relationship has to change. There's a place here for parents and children to talk as the relationship gets older. You know, sort of, you know, as I've come to this in my own mind with my own kids. You know, I say to my children, I will try to remember that you are not 8 any longer. I will try to remember that you're 14 and 15. If you will also try to remember that you are not 28. If you will try to remember, you are 14 and 15. But the command here to obey your parents is directed at all who are growing up in the home. All who are still subject to their parents. And I realize this becomes a little bit more complicated as maybe kids are at home when they're going to school. You know, some kids move back into the home after they get home from school and so forth. But as a general rule, I would go with this. My dad used to use the expression, when you have your feet under your own table. And what he meant by that was when you sit down to dinner and you own the table that your feet are under, you can do what you want. But if your feet are still under this table, there's a place for obedience. There's a place for obeying, for honoring. And I think it's a good general rule. At minimum, that you are honoring your parents. Honoring your parents. By doing what they ask you to do. Obedience to parents is a thoroughly Christian idea. Children, young people, like everyone else, you are called to do all in the name of Christ. If you are a believer, you've been raised by Christ, made alive in Christ, have the hope of heaven, you are to do all things in the name of the one who saved you, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And what that specifically means, specifically doing all things in the name of Jesus, means doing all that your parents ask. To say if it is the case that Jesus makes me glad, and I hope it is for all of you, if it is the case that Jesus makes me glad, I'll obey my mom and dad. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray for your grace specifically in the hearts of the young people and the children gathered in this room. Father, that you would be at work in their hearts and in their lives. Father, so many having made professions of faith, others while not having made that profession yet do know they love you. And Father, as they grow and as they grow older, that they would grow in the grace and understanding of Jesus Christ. That the truth of the gospel, that their Savior would become more and more precious to them. And Father, that as part of that, there would be a desire to honor and obey parents. That you would strengthen relationships within our homes. That you would bring blessing by means of your Spirit. As children obey their parents, and as we, Lord willing, here next week, fathers, parents, don't provoke their children, but nourish them. And that our homes would be blessed. Father, we pray for your grace toward this end. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.